Hi, this is Shel Brodnax with Stager Talk. I'm with Real Estate Staging Association, and today we are chatting with Karen Otto and Lance Selgo. Hello, Karen and Lance. How are you?
Hi, Shel. Doing great.
Hi, Shel. All good. Thanks for having us.
Great. Well, thanks for being on the show. We certainly appreciate it. Now, you both have teamed up to teach a class at RESACON 2016, our annual home staging convention. So before we talk a little bit about that, I just want to give our listeners a bird's eye view of each of you. So Karen, tell me a little bit about what you do and a little bit about your background.
All right. Well, I'm Karen Otto with Homestar Staging in Plano, Texas, and I am a professional home stager, and I turn house hunters into home buyers. My business is strictly on the staging to sell side. I know that there's stager companies that do redesign for dwellers, but I work primarily in the staging to sell side. I've been in business since 2006, and I've been in recent leadership since 2009.
That's fantastic. And Lance, tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Yes, I'm Lance Selgo with Unique Exposure Photography, and I do strictly 100% real estate photography. So I don't take pictures of any families or anything that moves. I just take pictures of houses. And I started my business in 2010. And thankfully, in 2012, was able to take it full-time. But I joined RESA in 2011 after reaching out actually to Karen through Twitter. That's how we ended up meeting up and how I found out about RESA. And I've been on the board for the last couple of years for our local RESA Dallas chapter.
That's awesome. So you met on Twitter. How did that happen exactly?
I think it actually was me probably that reached out because I had just started my business about a year prior, and I was looking for some way to take pictures of houses to build my portfolio, but I wanted houses that looked nice. So I was researching and trying to find people online that were doing either staging or decorating. I mean, at the time, I don't think I even knew what staging was, to be honest with you. But I ended up coming across Karen on Twitter. I think probably because she's very good at social media and she was sharing a lot about real estate and stuff that she was doing at the time. And so we started connecting and she invited me to a recent meeting and that's how we got together.
Well, it's a great example of how social media can help us build our networks and you meet fantastic people to do business with. So you've got the photography side and Karen's got the staging side. So I know the both of you work very closely together, and from what I can see on social media, I think you probably work on every single project together. What makes the relationship so successful that you really want to have that photographer as part of your team, Karen?
Well, even great staging looks bad with poor quality photos. And I tell you, that connection, I have to say, Lance is one of the, if not the best connection that I've ever made on social media in my history of being in my business, because for me, his photos make my work stand out. And it's not only for the houses that he photographs that I've already gotten the work for. It's about building a brand and having those images for future clientele to see the quality of work that we do. And really, I think staging and photography go hand in hand, not only for the realtor and their real estate marketing for their properties, but for a stager, it's just as important to have a connection or have a business relationship with a professional photographer in their area because it's building your brand.
Well, that's fantastic. So you guys are going to teach a class at RESACON, and the title is called Staging and Photo Styling, The Big Picture. So what is it that if someone's going to take that class and sit in on that, what can they expect from you?
Well, from a stager's perspective, again, what I just said about having that connection and even great staging looks bad with poor quality photos, understanding that it's not just about getting a photographer in for the realtor's photos for the MLS, but having a portfolio of photos that you can feel confident in your own online website marketing. I think a lot of stagers fail to realize the importance of the fact that our business is an image-based business. We're a very visual industry, and having either stock photos when you're starting and they're not really yours, or having poor quality images from your cell phone or a digital camera. And I've always said, even if I had a great quality camera, It's like having a race car. Just because I have the equipment doesn't mean I know how to use it. And just because you have a great camera doesn't mean you take great pictures. Now, I know that there are some stagers who do, and they do a wonderful job. I'm not one of those. I want to do what I do best and let the professional do the rest. So for me, I think it's not just about, we're going to talk about photo styling tips and how to take better photos or work in tandem with the photographer in taking better photos, but building your brand as just as much as a realtor will do, a stager has that same buy-in with their photos as a realtor does, and even longer, because we're trying to get more work and get more people to see the quality of work that we do, and shot by professionals is the way to go. That's the only way I would do it.
And Lance, what is your objective as a photographer when you're looking to work with a stager? What are some tips that you can give the listeners on how to work with a photographer and then vice versa even? How is it all that you can work together comfortably so you each other that you get it? So a lot of times, and I'll give an example, sometimes a stager, they stage the listing, a photographer that they don't know comes in and then changes some of the layout in the room or changes some of the accessories around. Are you guys going to give some tips on how to work with a professional photographer so you all don't get on each other's nerves? And then what about some photo styling? Because I would agree that there's sometimes when you're looking through the lens that something may need to be moved.
Yeah, I think there's definitely sometimes where you might need to move something. But whenever I move something at a property that I'm shooting, it's to get it out of the way. So usually it's not like directly in the foreground. Never touch anything in terms of the overall aesthetic of the staging job. I wouldn't move any pillows, for instance, that were set up on sofas, or even move chairs and stuff like that. I'll adjust my angles accordingly in order to get a good shot so I can leave everything intact how it's supposed to be. I think it's from a stager standpoint, if they're looking for a photographer, I think one of the easiest ways would be to find somebody who maybe has really good work, but maybe they're just their business, or maybe they just aren't in it full time yet, or they're looking for more work. They're going to be more willing to work with a stager and to understand that they're going to need them to help grow their business. I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned when I ended up starting and going to RESA and started networking with everybody was that It's not only about the stager having great photos to help their brand. It's about me as well and helping my brand, because the photos that I end up taking of houses that look great are ones that I can use to help market myself as well. So it goes back and forth hand in hand. We both work great together, and we both, if we don't have each other, we can have a bad result both ways.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that happening.
I was going to say, when we connected, the one thing I do with all of the vendors, and I don't even consider Lance a vendor anymore, he's a business partner, is hire them and have them work for you on at least one job and communicate. Speak to each other about your expectations, and is this for MLS or is this for portfolio work? I think it's important to have some communication and how I can help him take better photos. And I mean, we've gotten to the point in some instances where Lance will actually text or call me if I'm available and ask certain things before he touches or moves anything, and I leave it to his discretion at this point. And he knows how I work. I try to help him with how he works too, but not every client's going to keep the house exactly as we've left it or do exactly as we've said. But that communication helps us both be better business owners and partners as far as the end result in the product.
And that looks good for us on the client standpoint too. We're both working usually for the same agent. Either the homeowner has hired Karen or the agent has. So from our standpoint or from their standpoint, when they see us both communicating, trying to get the best result possible, that's a really good thing. And it's a really good thing for everybody involved.
Yeah, I think the lost art of communication where people are working together, there's a lot of stagers, I think some of the newbies primarily, but even some of the, you know, the 4 or 5 year mark, sometimes I see a lot on social media where people are asking questions on how to deal with a vendor or how to deal with a client. And the bottom line is, I think Karen, you just nailed it, is that communicate, just ask, just sit down. And why is it taboo to ask, how is it that you work? How can I work with you? What can I do to make the relationship better? What types of things do you not want me to do? There's no reason not to open up that type of communication, because it can only enhance your relationship. So
I think
when you were, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, with the whole communication thing, I think a lot of people have this fear that asking questions or not knowing the answer or being perplexed is a sign of weakness or not knowing what you're doing. I think it's completely reversed. Not asking the question and not communicating is not very professional. So I think it's important, if you don't know, ask. And if you don't get an answer, well, if you've got a good relationship over time, you kind of err on what do you think they might do. So I think in any, and especially in real estate, it's such a people-oriented, face-to-face business. I mean, we're in people's houses, we're face-to-face with them. I mean, Lance encounters not only the realtors, but the home seller while he's there shooting the home. I've encountered them face-to-face as well. So it's just kind of like this push-push team effort to get the same result, the best product out there, and have the most eyes and the most people making an offer on it. I think there's nothing wrong with asking questions, and no one should be afraid to do that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So when you all are working together, who pays for the photography services typically? And then can we ask what your arrangement is?
Sure. Lance, you want to answer that?
Yeah, so the majority of the time, the agent is paying for photography. Probably I would say 95% or more of the time, the agent is paying. There are just very few instances where Karen or like a stager, any stager in particular, might have a specific job that they want photographed, and they know that, let's say, that agent is really comfortable with using a different company, but the stager themselves wants the photos to use themselves, and they you know, have seen my work before, they're comfortable with me going out there, they know I'm going to get the shots that they want, so they may hire me on the side to go take the photos. But for the most time, or for the most part, it's usually the agent that's paying the photographer.
So in your all situation, because I know you partner up, so Karen, are you bringing the agent to the table where you are telling the agent, look, I work with this photographer, we need to hire Lance to come in and shoot this, or is this something that an ancillary service that you offer with your clients that you will have it professionally shot?
Well, I encourage them to hire Lance. I feel it should be on their part to pay for that portion of the services, and I know that a lot of different stagers work and include professional photography and all their listings. I can't guarantee that Lance is going to be available for every single client that I have. The beauty and the bane of being a very boutique-type business is you can only service so many folks, and I do try to convert all my regular agents to use Lance for that. But I full well know I can't be everything to everyone, and he can't be everything to everyone at all times. So, yes, I try to convert them, and that, to me, a realtor, that's part of what they do. They pay for the marketing services. Photos, bottom line, are something that they should pay for their listings. But like Lance was saying, when it comes down to portfolio work or even agents I know that work with other companies, but I don't like the quality of their work, and I won't pay for their photos. I would rather pay Lance for the photos I know that I will get the quality of work that I expect to demand for myself. And it's definitely worth a new stager, an existing stager that may not have great quality photos, to hire a photographer for your portfolio. Even if they don't use the photos from MLS, the agent doesn't use those, hire them to build your portfolio and your online brand.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I think the first line you said is great staging can still look bad if it's you know, not photographed well. So it's baffling to me as a business coach and a mentor to stagers, where they go out and they, you know, invest in getting their business up and going, and they go on stage, and then you look in their portfolio and the photos are dark. The composition's not correct. They're not photo styled. They're taken with iPhones. I can't understand the rationale behind it, but you are right, where you have that, you know, first time to make an impression, somebody's looking at your website, why wouldn't you invest in professional photography up front to at least build your portfolio? Even if you only did it for maybe 3 or 4 houses just to have your portfolio, you don't have to do it on every single one, but maybe do 2 or 3 houses for your portfolio, and then once a year after that, get some fresh content on your website.
Absolutely.
Would you agree with that, or do you think that they should do it for every single one?
Well, as far as, you know, the relationship that Lance has, especially with Risa Dallas, and I'm speaking on behalf of him at this point because he has been a very big part of not only our chapter as a board member, but many of the stagers, if not all of the stagers, have had him shoot properties for them. Every professional photographer is different as far as how they allow the use of those photos. I think it's important to establish the boundaries and the relationship. If you're going to be using on your website and garnering more work based on those photos, there might be a little bit more buy-in as far as what you need to pay for. And as far as Lance goes with Risa, he has been very generous as far as allowing use of the MLS photos, and he's had a very clear mindset, I think, and I'm speaking on your behalf, Lance, you can correct me if I'm wrong, in that the MLS photos, once they go out online and the house sells, it's kind of like a one and done for that. But if we use them, share them on social media, I'm always aware to credit Lance for that intellectual property. Those are his. Those are not, I didn't shoot those photos. I give him credit for that. It's building his business and mine, too, for people to see that work. But I think it's important for others to understand, to have a conversation with your photographer and understand how far you can use those. What is it limited use? Can I use them on my website? And yes, pay for photos. I personally will not put anything now on my website or when I share on my social media other than a before photo or work in progress. My final product, I don't share anything but professional quality photos. So do I think it should be done for all listings? Yeah, great, if you can, if you're proud of it and it's something that you feel is worth paying for. Maybe it's a different style of home you've never done before, or higher-end property. You have to showcase something in particular about your work that you may not have had before. I work with an investor, and Lance works with the same investor. He shoots about 4 to 5 properties a month that we've done, but I don't need all those photos now because he's purchased furniture, and it kind of looks the same. I don't need those photos for my portfolio of work anymore, but I have them in the arsenal. So I think it's important to understand, you know, what do you need? And as far as online, I think only professional photos should be on your website.
Great advice. So Lance, what are the typical restrictions that a photographer may have on photos if you've hired a stager? Let's say if a stager's hired the photographer, or even the agent has done it, what is the typical restrictions on how you can use those photos?
In the photography world, photos are usually purchased based off of a usage license. They're not, you're generally not paying somebody for their time to go out, take pictures, and edit photos. Sure, that time and that work involved plays into the overall cost, but at the end of the day, what you're paying for is you're paying for a specific usage of how you can take those photos and help market either a product, which is our case, we're marketing a house, or whether it's marketing your business. Generally, when a photographer is being hired to take pictures of a listing, the photographer is expecting that those photos are only going to be used to help market that listing. And hopefully they're only going to be used for a couple weeks, and then the house is going to sell, and then the agent's not going to have to use those pictures anymore. But I think generally that's what real estate photographers are expecting their pictures to be used as. Now, if somebody else were to purchase pictures for portfolio work, like if a stager needs portfolio work, or let's say a builder needs portfolio work to help sell additional homes beyond the home that they are currently trying to sell, then that's going to carry a higher price because those photos are going to be used a lot longer, and they're going to get more work out of them than just a simple sale of one house. So it depends on what the usage is going to be on the particular photos that are being purchased. But like Karen mentioned earlier, in my case, working with Risa Dallas and the stagers that are members, if somebody goes in and does either a consultation or a full-out vacant staging and an agent turns around and hires me for that property, I give those photos to the stager because, like she said, it's – those photos are going to be one and done. They're going to be used for that property, and that's it. But then the stager gets to use them beyond that level by either sending to clients as example photos or to help market their business. And at the end of the day, I probably got that job through the stager anyway. So it's more of a thank you, but it's also, it's smart on my part because that does end up getting me more business. And you have to realize, like, where my business came from. I came from, in 2011, I still wasn't full-time yet in real estate photography. I hooked up with Risa Dallas, and literally my business exploded. So you kind of have to recognize the power and the potential of what can be done with the work that you're doing to help grow your business. And that's just kind of one of those things that I took upon myself to step back and say, look, the majority of photographers, they might not want a whole bunch of different people using the pictures beyond the agent. But in my case, I can recognize that if I allow somebody like a Karen to use my pictures and help sell their services, it's going to bring more work my way.
So a lot of the times then, so an agent could purchase photographer's photos for the MLS. And then I've heard, you know, that sometimes those agents just give the photos to the stager. So is that always dependent on the individual relationship, or is it typically like 90% or 99% of the time that the agent's not supposed to give those away? It's just once he's bought them, it's just for a specific use. Those aren't for his to use forever and how he wants to.
Yeah, it's just for a specific use. I would never say that that's a given that the agent would be allowed to pass those photos off. And especially they wouldn't be allowed to turn around and sell them. That's even an issue if an agent loses a listing and they try to then sell the pictures. They actually don't own the rights to those pictures. They owned only the license to use them to sell and market that property. But now that they don't have that listing anymore, it comes back to the photographer to then turn around and sell to a new agent if that new agent is looking for those same photos.
Got it. That definitely makes sense.
So it's anything definitely else something you need to ask the photographer, and everybody needs to be on the same page, because it's not something typical that the photographer would expect an agent to just go hand out the pictures that they paid for, because they weren't expecting that usage to be involved.
Yeah, so I'm kind of shocked about that, actually, in not having to deal with this every day. So is that again, would be up to the photographer to set those boundaries with the agent when they're hired. So is that typical that a photographer would absolutely communicate that this is for this particular project, that's it, and agents realize that when they are hiring the photographer, that they can't take the photos and pass them on?
A lot of times the photographer will have like a frequently asked questions or something like that on their website, because usually copyright and licensing and usage, it's usually a pretty big deal for a photographer. So they'll most likely have it on their website probably. What I do for my clients is whenever a new client comes on board with me, they get a list of my company expectations and policies. And one of the paragraphs in that is about usage and reselling pictures, that they're not allowed to resell them and that they're only purchasing the rights to be able to use those photos to market a single property. Anything beyond that scope has to come back to me for me to agree, or for us to, you know, come up with a bid on what it would require for them to be able to use them outside of that realm.
Fantastic. So let me ask you this. Is there an average package, should I say, that typical photographer is going to offer in real estate photography?
I think you're going to see the minimum to be around 25 pictures. But normally, the photographer is going to generally be limited based off of the local MLS. In North Dallas, they're only allowed to put 25 pictures up. So that's usually where the majority of photographers are going to start their packages, because they know agents are probably going to want at least 25. But then they may do packages beyond that, because the agent can turn around and add up to 36 or however many in Realtor.com or any third-party sites to help put more pictures in than what their local MLS allows.
So what's the recommended amount of pictures? I would think that the more pictures you have, the better it is. Is there any type of statistic or verbiage out there that you know of that makes a claim that you should have a minimum of X amount of photos, that it gets more views or anything along those lines?
I don't have anything off the top of my head. I've heard that people do searches and base their searches on sites like Realtor.com based off of photos. Like, they may search for properties and then they may sort based off of which ones have the most pictures. So the ones at the top are going to be the ones that have more pictures. Do people actually do that? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they actually have that concrete data or if that's just, you know, somebody saying that to try to gain something from it.
Well, you know, actually, when I've looked on Realtor.com, I actually do sort and say, just show me the ones that have photos, because why waste my time with it?
Right. No, I agree 100%. But at the same time, you're not sorting based off of which ones have the most photos. You just only want to see listings that have photos. So if they have one, that's okay. But from what I've heard, they say that sometimes people search and, you know, they want to see the results of in order of how many pictures are actually on the listing. So the very top listing that they would see would be the one with the most pictures. And I don't know if that's really true or not. And I don't know how beneficial that really is, because at the end of the day, even a huge property, I mean, you can only take so many pictures and so many angles of rooms before it all looks the same anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's true for sure. So with our time kind of winding down here, what are the top three takeaways that would come if somebody was taking your class at RESACON? What's the top three things that they'll be able to walk away with?
Well, I think for me, it's how photography affects your brand as a stager, and also taking away some photo styling tips for helping your photos look better, your stage properties look better, and things you may not have thought about that can help make the photos better. And also just a best practice tip for developing a working relationship with a photographer in your area, how to find one, you know, reaching out to one, figuring out if you're a good fit for each other. So those are the three takeaways that we expect to share with our attendees.
Well, it's fantastic. Lance, do you have anything you want to add or anything that we can look forward to?
No, I'm really looking forward to the class, though, because I think that as, like we had talked about earlier, both the staging side and the photography side, they go hand in hand. We both work great together in order to come up with a result for an agent to be able to sell and put that house in the best light possible. So I think it's going to be really fun to have both sides of that equation, photography and staging, in a single class, and to be able to show. I think a lot of times on the staging side, when you're learning from other stagers, that's great, and you get to see, you know, how to place things in a house. You get to, you know, learn how to focus on specific features of the property. But I think it's going to be very helpful to hear from the photography side and see some of the things that I think about when I'm in a house and different angles and challenges that I have, and maybe some little things like Karen mentioned that can be done to help get the best picture possible.
Well, it's fantastic. Well, thank you both for joining me today. We really appreciate your input. RESACON 2016 is January 22nd, 23rd, and 24th at the Treasure Island in Las Vegas, Nevada. Lance and Karen's session is going to be happening on January 24th. That's the last day of the convention, from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. If you have not signed up yet for RESACON, there are still tickets available. We do suggest that you get in as soon as possible, because this event has sold out every year that we have done it. Go to resaconvention.com, and for more information on home staging, how to hire a home stager, or to find a home stager, visit realestatestagingassociation.com. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.